Well, this morning, man, we've sang some great songs about some promises that God has for us, you know, that forever He is faithful. And we sing some promises like that all the time, and promises of who He is, what His character is all about. And this morning, I want us to look at some promises that God has told us about. We're going to start in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30, and then we're going to jump around a little bit this morning. Proverbs 14, verse 30, I was reading through Proverbs. Many of you may do a Proverbs a day in your devotion time, and I've been doing that for years, and I want to encourage you. Proverbs is a great place to start, just with an early morning devotion time. Just read one a day. There's 31 of them, so you get them. You just keep going through them every month. And incredible teachings, incredible just applications, very quick applications that God gives us to living life. Proverbs 14, verse 30, it says, "A heart at peace gives life to the body." A heart at peace gives life to the body. So what would the opposite of that be? A heart not at peace makes you a zombie. A heart not at peace, man, it's like death. Man, it's like I'm going through life, but what's really happening? What's really going on? What's really good about that? Today in this sermon, I believe you either need this sermon today for you, because maybe your heart today is not at peace. So maybe today you need to hear this, and you need to go share this with somebody this week. Or maybe your heart today is at peace, and you just need to take this message today, and you need to go share this good news with somebody this week. So either way, I'm counting on every one of you today to take this, the truths from God's Word today, and go share this with somebody. Because everybody, there's not one person that you will find on this earth that does not want a heart of peace. Amen? Everybody does. A heart of peace gives life to the body. Jesus also said it this way in John 10, verse 10. He says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full," or some of your translations may say, "have it abundantly." You know, Jesus, He wants our heart to be at peace so that we can have the full life. I know there's recent years, there's been a whole lot of, you know, trouble with some of our fast food places. Because in recent years past, they went to all these biggie sizes. You remember those? Every time you'd pull up and you'd order a Big Mac meal, they'd ask you, do you want to biggie size it? And I don't know about you, but I love that. I was like in college when that came out. And man, I could not imagine why anybody wouldn't want the full size, the biggest size possible that you could get. Now today, and I'm a little smarter and a little wiser, that's up for debate, I understand. But today, you know, I see the problem with that. I see the health risk with that. But let me tell you though, Jesus wants your life to be biggie size. He wants your life to be full size. He wants you to have the most incredible life you could possibly have. That's one of His promises that He tells us. "I have come that you can have life, that you can have it to the fullest." Now that all begins with Jesus. When we enter into a relationship with Him by repenting of our sins, realizing that our sins have separated us from a perfect and holy God, but that Jesus came to this earth to die on a cross, to take the place that we deserve of death. And He says, "If you would ask, if you would receive me, I would come in and I will forgive you and I will save you." And it all begins right there. That heart of peace begins the moment of salvation. But it's got to continue. There is a factor of having a heart of peace that, yes, I've my heart's at peace, that I trust Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and that he saved me of my sins, and that I believe that one day I'm going to go to heaven when I die. Yes, I'm at peace with that. But what about the everyday, ordinary, walking through life heart of peace? We trust Jesus to fix our sin problem. But do we trust him to give us the best life possible? I trust God to take my soul to heaven one day. But do I trust him to go on a foreign mission trip? Does that make sense? I trust him with my soul for all eternity. But do I trust him to make the right decisions for my kids? Let me just look at it. We're just going to walk through real quick a few things that God did. He used a donkey to talk to Balaam. But I wonder if he could ever talk to me. He equipped David to defeat Goliath. But I wonder, will he equip me to pass my next test? He rescued Daniel from a den of hungry lions. But I don't really know if he can rescue me from my family situation or work situation. He provided food for over 5,000 people with just a few fish and bread. But I'm worried about my retirement plan. Is he really going to take care of that? He walked on water. But can he rescue me from sinking deeper and deeper into depression? You see, sometimes we have it backwards almost. You know, it's like me going out and hiring a babysitter to come to my house and take care of my children. But then I say, but I'm going to go out and get someone else because I don't really trust you to take care of my dog. Does that make sense? It's like we say, I trust you, Lord, for my eternity, my eternal salvation. But what about these everyday, ordinary life decisions? And I believe that in those decisions, in those everyday, ordinary life decisions of trusting him and walking with him, that is where the fullness of life on this earth is received. Let's look this morning at a couple of places in Scripture. First of all, I want to turn your attention to John chapter 8. Verse 31 and 32. John chapter 8, verse 31 through 32. We're going to look at several encounters with Jesus that he shows how to have this fullness of life. But in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, it says, "To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" So picture this. This is two believers, to those who are trusting in him, to those who are believing in him, to those who are following him, to those that have made that decision to believe in him. He goes on to say, if you continue to hold to my teachings, continue to follow them, if you continue to be my disciple, you'll really be my disciple, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The burden that many of you have today is that your heart hasn't been set free because the truth is not living and active and living in obedience to that truth. And so for your heart to be at peace, it's got to be the sense that you're holding on to Jesus' teachings. You're holding on to them. You're following them. Then that truth is going to set you free. I pray that God's truth today and every day will set your heart free to be at peace and live life fully. You know, to go back to the talking about food. Don't we hate to talk about food this time on Sunday morning? But to talk about, the, you know, McDonald's or Burger King, or, you know, we want it right now, we want it our way right away. You know, we live in that kind of society, we live in that kind of world, but we want things to happen very quickly. And I want to propose to you that biblical meditation, God's word, God's truth, meditating on it, I want to propose to you, when you begin to do that, you will instantly see your heart change. You will instantly see God beginning to change your heart, change your mind. Biblical meditation can be instant help. It could be fast. It could be now. It could be transforming for your marriage, for your parenting, for your attitude, for the controlling of your emotions, and for helping others. So I want you to know, believers, once you've trusted Christ with your sin problem, and now you begin to live for Him, and you begin to study God's Word and meditate on it, it will immediately begin to transform the other areas of your life. It will begin to unleash your heart to fully receive the life that God has for you. Jesus is the ultimate example of a heart at peace and a life lived to the fullest. So let's look at His life. I just wanted this morning whet your appetite a little bit. Turn to Luke chapter 8, verse 22 through 25. And like I said, I'm gonna kind of whet your appetite with meditating on Scripture this morning and looking at a couple of stories of Jesus' life. And my hope is you'll leave here today and you will be hungering for more of this. You'll be desiring to go home and open up God's Word and continue reading these stories about Jesus' life and about what He did, because in Him is life, the fullness of life. And the only way our hearts can be set free in Him is to know Him and to study Him. In Luke chapter 8, verse 22, we'll begin. It says, "One day, Jesus said to His disciples, 'Let's go over to the other side of the lake.' So they got into a boat and set out, and they sailed. As they sailed, He fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke Him, saying, 'Master, Master, we're going to drown.' He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. 'Where is your faith?' He asked His disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, 'Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey Him.'" Just a couple of things from this we get. First of all, your life as a believer, your life is in Jesus' hands. He's got you. When He got into the boat with these disciples, their life was in His hands. And He knew every moment that was about to happen. There was nothing that could happen when they got into that boat from one side of the lake to the other that He was not aware of. There were no surprises what was going to happen during that boat trip. And guess what? Praise the Lord. There are no surprises as to what's going to happen in your life. None. You see, a heart set free, a heart at peace, realizes God is in control of me. God has me in His hands. He knows everything that is about to happen to me. So what happened to the disciples? What happened to them? Why did they get out on that lake and the storm come up? And here's what they did. They went into panic mode, right? Anybody in here ever been in panic mode? We can all raise our hands. Let's go right back up to the front, into the top. Verse 22, very important. One day, Jesus said. Active listening to what Jesus says is very important. Knowing it, claiming it, believing it, following it, meditating on it, reminding ourselves of it every day is so important to have that heart that's set free, because our adversary from the very beginning, from Adam and Eve, is always whispering, did he really say? Did he really say he was going to take this boat and he said, let's go to the other side? Did he really tell them, let's go over to the other side of the lake? Did he really say forever he's going to be faithful to Eastwood Baptist Church? Forever he's going to be faithful to his believers and to his followers? Did he really say those things? We have to listen to his promises, because we're human. We're just like these disciples. You know, some of them got busy just preparing the boat, right? Jesus was over there jumping in the boat saying, let's go to the other side. Whoa, 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 Master. We got some stuff we need to take care of. Don't worry. We got you covered. You go on the bottom of the boat. You take a rest. We got you covered. You know, how many of them got busy and just didn't hear him say it? And then how many of them just forgot about it? Got out there, the storm came up, they just forgot his promises. And then there were those that just didn't listen to begin with. I'm so thankful God's got us covered on this. Because Jesus says in John 14:26, he says, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. You see, when our heart is made right with God through the blood of Jesus Christ, he promises us the gift of his Holy Spirit, the seal of our salvation, the comforter, the helper, the one who teaches us all things. God says, I'm going to give you the power of the Holy Spirit in your life so that I will remind you of my promises. I will teach you of my ways. And Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is going to remind us of all of those things. And so the opportunity that we have daily to tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit, just like this microphone, somewhere on here there's a glitch. I walked back to the back and David said, just touch it. I touched it and it came on. Somewhere there's a disconnect. And so I want to ask you, in your life, every single day, there's the opportunity to be connected, to be listening, to be receiving from God through the Holy Spirit. But there's also the opportunity to ignore and to miss what he's saying and what he's teaching and his comfort, and to miss those blessings that he wants to give you throughout those days. So a heart at peace is going to be listening. John 16:33, Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. You will have Satan saying, did he really say? But take heart, I have overcome the world. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. In me is the life. Jesus is the life. Matthew 14, if you'll turn over there. Matthew 14, starting in verse 13, we're going to look at another encounter of Jesus. Most of these stories are stories that you know, you were brought up reading and understanding. But meditating on them and thinking about them and being reminded of God's promises are what we need to do daily. Look at Matthew 14:13. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food.
Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only five loaves of bread and two fishes," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and all the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Now just imagine, there's this massive amount of people, 5,000 plus people who are gathered together. The disciples, they're very aware of their surroundings. No matter what people say, they had some pretty good common sense right here. They saw what was about to happen. These people were about to get hungry. It was getting that time of day to eat. We need to go. We need to let them loose. We don't have any food. So they came up with an incredible common sense plan. Look what they said. The evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Very good plan. If we live by common sense. And I want to say to you this morning, a heart at peace with God is not a heart that lives by common sense. It's a heart that lives under the direction of God. You see, you got to ask yourself this question. Do you want to live a good life? Or do you want to live the best life? Because a good life is a common sense kind of life. A good life in the Bible Belt of the United States is, man, I live for faith, I live for family, and I live for football. What could be any better? How could life be any better than that? I won't mention any football games yesterday, because I want some of you to be friends. But that's kind of common sense in the Bible Belt. Someone says, how do you live? Oh, I live it by my faith. I live for my family. I mean, those are good things. That's kind of common sense. But Jesus says, look, there's a part of life that will never make sense to you. And he showed this to his disciples. This will never make sense to you. And so Jesus directed them to this uncommon kind of life. And it's a life that completely trusts in him for direction and for guidance. Can you imagine that day if Jesus just would have said, "You know what, guys? You're right. Way to use your old noggin. Way to be thinking ahead. And let that crowd go." Wow. They would have missed out on the best Jesus had to offer. Amen. They would have missed out on seeing Jesus take some fish and some bread and use that to feed this multitude of people. Can you imagine if that would have been you and you would have missed that opportunity? One of my favorite authors, I cut my teeth on, Oswald Chambers. I was 20 years old and I surrendered my life to the Lord. I had two books. I had a purple and gold Bible my parents gave me because I was going to LSU for my 18th birthday. And I had an Oswald Chambers daily devotion that a lady in my church gave me. When I surrendered my life to the Lord and I was 20, I went to those two books. Oswald Chambers says this, "Naturally, we are inclined to be so mathematical and calculating that we look upon uncertainty as a bad thing. Certainty is the mark of the common sense life. To be certain of God means that we are uncertain in all our ways. We do not know what a day may bring forth. This is generally said with a sigh of sadness. It should rather be an expression of breathless expectation. You see, to live the uncommon life, to live the life that says, Jesus, you direct me to make these decisions. I'm not going to use my common sense, but I'm going to use my faith and my trust in you, because I don't want to miss the great adventure. It's easy to follow the common sense way of life, but it's the great adventure that sets our heart free and opens up our passions and opens up areas to follow and see God move and do things in our life that we could never, ever see if we just depend on our common sense. And although the disciples had a pretty good plan, Jesus says, no, you just let me direct this plan, and I'm going to show you the best that could possibly happen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, Paul says, do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standard of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 through 11, I want you to write that down. I'm not going to read that today, but I want you to go home and meditate on Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. And that's talking about how true wisdom is from God and not from common sense. Most of you know Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your what? Own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Do you see that? Following God, even when it doesn't make sense, brings health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Whoa, wait, that can't be right. But that's just how God works. He works opposite of most of the ways we think. We think, man, if I have to trust and I have to put faith and I have to do what doesn't seem right, I'm going to be a nervous wreck. I'm going to break down. There's no way I could do it. But the exact opposite is true. God's promises says when you live the uncommon kind of life, the life that follows Him into steps of unknown, into places that doesn't make sense, it actually brings health and healing to our bodies. Isn't that incredible? It's hard to do. It doesn't make sense. But it's the truth of Scripture. Wow. As we go on in Matthew chapter 14, it says in verse 22, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of Him to the other side while He dismissed the crowd. After He had dismissed them, He went up on a mountainside by Himself to pray. Just stop for a moment here. These two stories back to back, they both begin with Jesus getting by Himself and praying. A heart at peace with God has got to spend time alone with Him, getting away from everything else. The premise of that War Room movie that's taken over our nation. Is that incredible? Where's your war room? Where's your room of prayer? Solitary time with God. Goes on to say, verse 24, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw Him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. There it is again, don't panic. I got you, I'm with you, don't panic, I'm here. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out His hand and caught him. I can imagine Him laughing right here. You have little faith, He said. Why did you doubt? You just jumped out of the boat. Come on. And helped him back up. When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When your heart's at peace, or you want a heart of peace, you're free to trust him. And here's what I mean by that. You ready? About to transform a little bit of your thinking, I hope. You see, most of the time, we get annoyed by the little kid in the classroom who will never put his hand down or her hand down, right? It's like you're teaching. I haven't even asked a question yet. I don't care. Whatever it is, I got it. That's what Peter did right here. That's what Peter did. Lord, just tell me to come. Just tell me, Lord, to come on out. I'm coming out. You see, most of the time, my fear is make me sit back and go, God, please don't call me to do that. God, please, God, don't ask me. Let me sit on my hands. Let me sit on my hands, God. Please don't tell me. I'll do a lot of things, God, but please don't tell me. You see, a heart at peace and a heart with freedom is a heart that's got his hand up at all times saying, whatever it is, God, I got this. Come on. I'll do it. I'll go. I'll be there. Just tell me to step out onto the boat. Just tell me to teach that class. Just tell me, God. I am ready and I'm going. Heart at peace sets us free to trust him. And then what does that lead to? And finally, they got back in the boat. They climbed into the boat in verse 32. The wind died down. Those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When your heart's at peace, you're free to worship. You're free to come before God and call him who he truly is, the Son of God. You know, when we come into this place on Sunday morning or at any time, a heart at peace has freedom to worship, has freedom to come in here and express thanks and gratitude and give God the worth that he deserves. But that's only going to come from a heart that's been willing to say, I'll go wherever you say. God, I'm not living my life by common sense. I'm living my life by your direction. That's what gives us the freedom to worship him fully and to know him. I ask you to close your eyes this morning and pray with me. If you're in here this morning and you say, Brother Brad, I want a heart of peace that gives life to the body. During this prayer time, I'm just going to lead you through some statements. I'm going to ask you to pray those in your heart to the Lord this morning. As you pray those, if you believe those, and if you would live by conviction in these statements, God's going to set your heart free. Free to serve him, free to love him, free to worship him, free to follow him, free to know that you're not going to miss the greatest that he has for you every day. Lord, I believe you are who you say you are. I believe you know every detail of my life. I believe, God, there are no surprises. I believe my life is in your hands. Lord, I will meditate on your word. I will listen to your promises. Because I believe, God, you can only do what is best. You can only do what is perfect. I will follow your direction, even if it doesn't make complete sense. I will get alone and pray. and seek you and hear from you. God, I dare to ask you to place me in situations that will test my faith and my trust in you. God, I want to be like Peter. I want to have my hand up. I want to be ready. Lord, I desire to worship you fully and freely. Lord, I pray for those here today that pray this prayer. God, that you would begin to set their hearts free, free to live life to the fullest. Also pray this morning, Lord, for those whose hearts are still held captive by their sin. This morning, Holy Spirit, you would draw them to salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.